Welcome to Agile Self-Development, the podcast that gives you a roadmap for personal growth and self-improvement for your body, mind, and spirit. Hi, I'm Helene Coppell, and I'll show you how to become your best self one version at a time. Mental fortitude is described as mental and emotional strength in facing difficulty, adversity, danger, or temptation courageously. My guest today is David Terrio, an ultra runner and coach who understands that mental fortitude is pivotal to his success, very much akin to life's many other challenges. David is an ultra runner, but he didn't start until later in life after ACL reconstruction surgery. He's run 45 ultra marathons, and 16 of those were 100 miles or more. He's coached runners from all over the world to finish their first or furthest ultra marathon. David also hosts the Run the Riot podcast, where he interviews runners from all over the world who are accomplishing major feats, and he often discusses mental preparation and resilience in the face of adversity. He gets great joy in helping others come to the realization that yes, they can do hard things. And now, on with the interview. David Terrio, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
When we started, before we even hit record, I told you, you're a runner. I will never be seen running. We don't have that in common. But I think we do have in common that we both have that mental fortitude and had to find it.
Yes.
So with that being said, I'd love to hear a bit about your journey to become the ultra runner and coach that you are today.
Oh man. Well, it's kind of an interesting thing. I was never a runner, you know, growing up in high school or anything. I did wrestling and all that. And I was doing jujitsu, and I tore my ACL. The only running I would ever do was to, you know, to cut weight for a tournament or, you know, just to, so my cardio would be okay when I was on the mat, but I tore my ACL.
And, is that your knee, in your knee?
Yes. Yes. And so I couldn't do jujitsu. I had to have surgery. And this was December of 2009. I had surgery. And so I was laid up for a bit and, you know, going through therapy and all, and I needed something. I needed a goal. And I had never run a 5K, a half marathon, anything. I hadn't run any kind of race, just was running for fitness a little bit. And I said, I want to run a marathon, a full marathon in a year from my surgery, within a year.
And the doctors didn't have any issue with it?
They said as long as I went through the protocol with rehabbing my knee, and I did. I did everything they told me to do. I was well behaved. I didn't do anything stupid, you know. So, but I told them, I said, I know it's going to hurt as long as it doesn't, you know, mess anything up. You push me. I want to, you know, heal as quick as I can. And so I started, I got out of that, you know, out of therapy. And then I started, you know, just building myself up, running. And just shy of a year, December 2010, I ran my first race ever was a marathon in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Your first race ever was 26 point something miles?
26.2 miles in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Wow.
Yeah. And I didn't die. I actually did okay, you know, and I kind of embraced it. Like I thought it was really amazing. Like, you know, the training that I put in translated into, it translated into the road, into the race, you know, there was just that connection there and, you know, discipline and everything and kind of, and then I went back and did 5Ks and 10Ks and all that. And
which was nothing at that point.
Yeah. Well, you know, and, but even like I tell people a 5K is hard because you're running faster, you know.
Oh, you're shooting for time.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're, you know, it's quicker, but you're hurting more, you know, you're right. Pushing harder.
Of course you're shooting for time on the marathon too, but it's a long game.
Exactly. Exactly. And then, then I heard of this thing called an ultra marathon. I started running some trails a little bit and I love being outdoors. And so in,
you know, when you sent your information to me, I was like, ultra marathon? Like, marathon is not enough. What qualifies as an ultra marathon?
It's pretty much anything over the 26.2. Technically, like most people, if you do a 50K, which is 31.1 miles, that's considered kind of like your first, you know, the ultra marathon distance. There are 50Ks and then 50 miles and then, you know, 100 miles. And I've even done a 200 miler around Lake Tahoe.
I don't even want to drive a marathon.
Yeah. It's, you know, sometimes I'd rather run it, run than drive. I don't like to drive 200 miles, but I'll go run it in the mountains, you know?
Right.
But, so I heard about these, I loved being outside. And so instead of doing a 50K first, I decided my first ultra marathon was going to be a 100 miler. And so I signed up, I trained and then I did it. And
how long does that take?
My first one took me, it just depends because like some of them are more technical, some of them are flat, some of them are in the mountains. This one was in the swamps in South Louisiana. I did it in about 22 and a half hours.
Do you sleep?
No. Now some of the longer ones, like 200 miles, you know, because the clock is ticking and if you're racing, you know, so when I did the 200 miler, I slept, it took me 73 hours and I took probably a slept for about 3.5 hours total. You know, here and there.
Is that expected? Like there's no, okay, turn off the clock. Everybody must sleep at least 4 hours.
No, that once the clock starts, the clock is going. Now, at some of the aid stations, there are, you know, that some of them have like tents you can crawl into and die for a little while, you know.
And then I sound like such a mama and grandma, like, you got to get your rest. I don't know how you're running so far without all of that.
Well, so hey, you'll love this. So when I started doing marathons and then when I did the 100 miler, my mom, sweetest, my mom and dad have come in and crew me before. You can have crew meet you at, you know, points to make sure you're eating properly and fueling properly and all that. And then, so they came in with you that.
Your tires.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And so my mom was like, this is 100 miles so long. Why don't you just stick to the marathon? And so then I went and I did the Tahoe 200 in 2018. And so this is how it skewed my mom's perception of what I did. She said, 200 miles is so long. Why don't you just do 100 miles? You know, why don't you just do 100 miles? So I was like, I broke my mom. Right.
Yeah, it's all relative, right?
Exactly. Exactly. It's relative.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you mentioned, I must have interrupted something, but we're gonna move on because my ADD took off. But you mentioned earlier that, you know, you learned a lot about yourself in that journey. Tell me what you learned. How that worked?
Yeah, I did. So there's some, you know, and you said you know you did a half marathon, and you know what it's like, you know, when you want to quit and you have to keep pushing. Well, just multiply that, you know, when I did my first 100 miler, it's kind of like, you hit mountaintops and valleys. There are points where, you know, you might be 70 miles in and you're running and you feel like you can run forever. You know, that runner's high,
right?
And it feels amazing and you're just going and it's good. But there are some races where I'm 35 miles into a 100 miler and I am hitting a low valley. I am questioning life choices. My body's, you know, when I did the Tahoe 200, I looked at my wife, it was dark. I had 100 miles to go halfway through and I started laughing. And she said, she thought I lost my mind. She said, what is wrong? What are you laughing at? I said, this is so stupid. She said, yeah. And I said, all right, see you later. And I ran off into the dark, you know, to go run another 100 miles.
Right.
You know?
Delirious. But, why am I doing this?
Exactly. But you learn, that you can keep moving forward. You learn that you can always take another step, and you learn these, I guess, mental tricks to help push you through. Because if you think, man, I've got 75 miles left, that's a lot, you know, that's hard to embrace mentally.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like any task, you know, some tasks are just so big and you can't, when you think of them, you know, you get overwhelmed and you can shut down and you just want to quit. You can't do that. You've got to break it up.
So did you learn you had it in you, or you learned to grow it in you?
Ooh, that's a good question. I like that. that's really good. So I think it's a little bit, of both. I think, what I shared with, I was speaking to, some young adults, some athletes, and You know, when I signed up for the 200 mile or the Tahoe 200, when I signed up, when I went ahead and put my credit card number in and all that, at that point, I was not a man who could run 200 miles. I was not that guy.
Right.
But I knew that I could discipline myself and put myself through training that when I got to the starting line, I was that guy, you know?
Right.
And so it's having faith in the process, having faith in yourself that you can do it. You can prepare yourself and you can get it done. And now, you know, and so that's what I did. And that's, you know, and when I tell people, you know, when I sign up for a race, I'm not just committing to show up at the starting line. I'm committing to 16 weeks of training prior to the race to build myself up. So that decision is made once for the whole time. Like I don't wake up in the morning and saying, am I going to run this morning? No, I look at my plan and I'm like, all right, I'm running. Like this morning, I ran 12 miles, you know, I got
up
and I ran, but I make the decision once and then I just execute.
Like you and I are both podcasters, right? One day I said, I'm going to have a podcast, but I didn't get on. I didn't buy a microphone and the next day turn on the podcast.
Right.
You know, I had to make a plan. I had to do the research. I had to get the equipment. I had to take it step by step with the with a goal date that I'm going to have this live by the end of this year. And I beat my deadline.
But, good. It's good.
Yeah. So it's kind of like that. And pushing past what you said, one of those lessons, what you learned about yourself, I could, like you do 100 miles. I do an hour hot power flow yoga class. Tomato, tomato, right?
Yeah. It's a challenge.
It's a challenge. There are days that my body, like there was one time I was like, I didn't even get into half an hour. I'm like, I didn't make it half. I didn't leave. I'm like halfway through and I know I can't do full force to the end of class. But I'm not leaving. What I'm going to do is what I can do.
Mm.
Right? So I take it down a notch because I believe in, you know, you have to listen to your body, right? If you're in pain, I know the whole no pain, no gain. I don't believe in that. But the, you know, pain is a signal to your body that you better pay attention. So you, I'm sure, have certain adjustments that like my ACL is going to go out again if I do this.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So I get through that class going, okay, I'm not going to be able to do the next vinyasa. I'm just going to meet them in downward dog, but I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
I'll meet you, you know?
Yeah. That's excellent. I tell, you know, because injuries happen, you know, in running and things happen in life where we can't be where we want to be. And I say this on the podcast all the time. And I tell my runners, I say, when you can't do what you want to do, you do what you can until you can do what you want to do. You know,
exactly.
Like you said, show up. And when I tore my ACL again in 2015 on a trampoline, I shouldn't have been on a trampoline at my age. Trampolines are the devil. Everybody listening.
Fun.
No, I will not get a trampoline again.
I bought one of those little ones.
Okay. Well, you know, well, this one I was, you know, slam dunking at a trampoline park and that same knee, I not only tore my ACL, but messed up cartilage and meniscus. And so I was on crutches, non-weight bearing on that leg for over 6 weeks. And for somebody who was running and doing all these things, it was really hard mentally. So what I had to do is I can't run, I can't even walk. So, but I would get up every morning and I would go to when I could finally drive, I would go to the gym and I would work out what I could. I said, I need to get some cardio in. So the gym I was at had this endless rope that you could just pull real fast and it had a hand bike. And so I would do that to get cardio in and I'd do core work. I would do what I could that way. When I could start running again, my body was strong. My core was good. And I wasn't just a flabby piece of whatever, you know, having to start all over again. And so, you know, I think a lot of times if we can't do the thing we want to do, the big goal right away, we'll give up instead of, okay, what can I do to help myself until I can get there? You know, what's the little things I can do daily to help me and just do it?
Yeah.
Know?
And you're describing mental fortitude. What do the voices sound like in your head? If I wanted to build that mental fortitude.
I guess I think one of the things, you know, when we say mental fortitude, my brain always goes to like during the race, but I think we build those things, you know, when I show up at the race, yeah, there will be pain and suffering during a race, but I've already practiced some of that suffering, some of that exertion and getting myself into that situation even before I've gotten to the starting line. And so I've conditioned my brain, you know, and so like during a race, when I start getting down, I tell myself, you know, like, this is really, you know, this is hard. I'm not feeling good. But then I can tell myself, okay, I've been here before. Mm-hmm. I know I can push through. And I start asking questions like, am I eating enough? Am I drinking enough? You know, do I need to change my shoes? Or, you know, what are some things that I can do? Start troubleshooting, you know, and once you start, you know, thinking of those things, sometimes you can fix the problem. But if not, just knowing that I can push through this. I've done it before.
Right. You know, it's kind of flipping the script of from I can't, it hurts, to okay, what can I do? Okay, yes. I'm going to do this. And next I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. Right? I know that helps me getting into planning to turn things around. We're both, you know, tech geeks by day, right? Yeah. It's always like, oh, let's identify the problem.
Yes, yes.
Right? What is the problem we're solving for? Great. I'm hurting. I'm this, I'm that. Great. I know the problem. Now I can focus on fixing it.
Exactly. Exactly. And it gets your brain occupied. You're not only just sitting there and you're hurt, not moving forward. You're working toward it. You know, you're making progress, you know?
Right. Right. Tell me about you coach people, and you told me you've seen some nice aha moments from your coaches. Are there, you got any great stories about those who come out the other side?
So when you, in these ultra marathons, you can have a pacer, you know, usually the second half of the race, and you can, you can get somebody just to run with you. They can't, you know, pull you along. They can't carry things for you, but they're just there to help make sure you don't fall off the side of a mountain, make sure you stay on the trail, but also to talk, you know, make sure you're there mentally. And so I've had the privilege of pacing some of the runners I've coached. And it's a pretty neat thing when, like, I think of John, who he's retired military, and he's a big guy. And we went through training, and you know, mentally before the race, we talked about, you know, hey, it's going to get hard. It's going to get tough. This is your first time in a 100 miler. So it's going to be, you know, way more than that 50 miler that you did. And then I got to pace him. And so I was with him when he was hitting some of those lows, and I got to see him kind of battle through it. I was there to remind him, like, all right, we got to keep moving forward. And when that negativity would come in, like, oh my gosh, we got to go up this other, you know, mountain. And I was like, hey man, we get to be out here, you know, and just, you know, kind of flipping the script and getting him to just focus on moving forward. And John finished this was a tough 100 miler in Arkansas. And I got to watch him push through and just fight for it, man. His body was tired. His legs were spent. And man, he crossed the finish line. And you know, when you run 100 miles, you get a buckle. And he got his buckle, and he was so proud, and man, he earned it. You know, I watched him do the work and just trust the process and then execute. And man, you know, hey, he worked for it. He had to push. It was hard, but he did it.
Yeah. That's.
Yeah.
That's strength.
Yes.
That is strength. Yeah.
And he now, and so the cool thing about it is he's done other races, and he signed up for a 200 next year. Like, he knows that when he was ready, like, to really get, when he felt like he was hurting and ready to give up, he knows that he can do more. He knows there's more beyond. He knows John found out he is stronger than he thought he was. And, man, that's, you know, that's kind of voluntarily putting ourselves in tough times to discover some things about ourselves, you know?
Right. Yeah, and it's voluntary.
You know, yeah.
You know what? That's a great point. And I don't, I keep thinking like my biggest moments of mental, emotional fortitude came at such, with health issues, you know, dealing with cancer. I'm a twice cancer survivor.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And, but my thing has been, you know, I have a friend who tells the story, like she remembers better than I do. We used to go biking on weekends. We go pretend that you can mountain bike in South Florida and do these nice little trails. And she was saying, oh, are you going to go this weekend? And I was like, no, I can't. I got this thing to take care of, a little procedure. She's like, what is it? This is the way I talk. This is the way my brain works. It's like, oh, I got a, you know, tumor. I have to, oh, my lung, blah, blah, blah. Just like that.
Oh, man.
I got this little thing I can't do. But it was never, I never, you know, I cried. Yeah. I dealt with emotion around it. There was some fear around it that lasted about 2 weeks. Actually, if you would have heard me in the doctor when he told me I had this tumor, I was like, can you just take it out? Like, I don't have time for this.
I love it.
I'm like, it's not a big deal. Just take it out. And he looked at me like I was crazy. Like, yeah, it kind of is a big deal. You know, yeah. I don't have time for this. And it was, all right, what do I need to do? Okay, I'm going to do this. Okay, I'm going to do this. And at some point, there's like that checklist item of, oh, you better tell your child's father that you really, there is a risk, even whether you believe it or not.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that to me, you know, I pat myself on my own back, my mental fortitude. That's people have said to me, how could you be so strong? How did you, did I have a choice?
Yeah.
What am I going to lay down and die? That's all I know is I've identified the problem. Now, how do I solve it?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, going through that, you know, I mean, you probably so much when you deal with other problems, you know, I mean, this sounds kind of crap, you know, but hey, at least it's not cancer, you know.
Could be worse.
Could be worse, yeah. You know.
No, but I have beat myself up with like, I could beat cancer twice and I can't put down my fork and lose the final 20 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? We can do some big things, but then sometimes the smaller things, we'll beat ourselves up because we just can't or won't do it.
You know what? My emotional strength at this point says, you know, it's okay. I'm still me and I'm not going to torture myself over that.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah. So tell me when you're coaching others or when you're speaking, you know, going to events and you're a public speaker now too, right?
Yes. Yes.
How do you help explain or coach people to develop that strength? What can we do?
So I believe in daily disciplines, you know, building disciplines into your life to help you, to help grow you. And that has to do with physical training. That has to do with, you know, education, reading, all those things, you know, building those things in your life to where you can become the person you want to be. Kind of like, if I want to be that 200-mile runner, I need to do some things. Well, that's life. You know, I don't want to be the same person I am a year from now. I want to be stronger. I want to be more disciplined. I want to be more resilient. I want to have a stronger mind. And so, you know, putting those things into my life and for ultra runners, it's training, it's running. And through doing that daily, I become stronger mentally and physically. Right. And so I encourage people to build those things into their life to strengthen them and give them that mental fortitude. Cause when you do those things daily, you're changing who you are. You're growing. You're becoming a stronger, a better person, a more resilient person. And, you know, and so that's kind of where I go with it. I try to encourage people to do that. And it's funny because through coaching people in running, you know, I see them blossom and become more confident in other aspects of their lives, you know, you know, asking for the promotion, starting the business, you know, doing the big thing that they've been wanting to do that's not even related to running, because they're like, they're just recognizing, hey, I've got some potential here. I've got, you know, I call it mining potential, you know, trying to find that potential there. Let's dig that out.
Like mining data, you're mining potential within you.
Exactly. It's there. We just got to, and sometimes it takes, and you know, in my world, it's, you know, running a big race and you find out, man, when I ran that 100 miler, I was exhausted, but I said, you know, I think I can do more. And that's what caused me to sign up for the 200 miler later on.
Sure it wasn't delusions of grandeur?
Well, no, you didn't. I did it.
Well, I want to say that, you know, we're talking about this and I love this all. And of course, we don't change and do everything at once overnight. It becomes overwhelming. So you and I had talked about, which was in such alignment, that you like to break it into chunks.
Yes. So, okay. When there comes a point in time in any race, especially an ultra marathon, where you just can't imagine, you know, like 100 miles into a 200 miler, you just can't imagine. I've got 100 miles more to go.
Halfway, I am exhausted. I'm only halfway.
I am halfway. Exactly. This is stupid, you know? and when you do some of these races, the aid stations are even, you know, 15 and 20 miles apart. And so at some point in time, I can't think about, I have 100 miles left. So I have to go, okay, I have 15 miles to the next aid station. So I'm going to do that. And so I keep moving forward. And sometimes it gets so hard, I can't even embrace 15 miles to the next aid station. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go another mile. I'm going to make another mile, and I have my GPS watch. I look at it. Okay, another mile. Then I say, I'm going to do another one. And then sometimes it gets so hard, I need to say, okay, I'm just going to get to that tree. I'm just going to go to that tree right there. And it's gotten so bad sometimes, it's like, I just have to take another step.
Just keep swimming.
Just keep swimming. Exactly. Exactly.
Right. I've said that to myself. Just keep swimming. Yeah. And that's just life sometimes. Just keep swimming.
Exactly. And it's relentless forward progress. And if you can't embrace the 15 miles, embrace the mile, or embrace the tree, or embrace another step and just keep moving forward. And man, we got to do that in life, man. When life gets tough, you know, we can't think of, you know, getting through the next month financially or all the things that are on our calendar. Well, let's just get through this week.
And sometimes, or when they say one day at a time,
let's get through the day, or man, let's get through this next 5 minutes.
You know, like on all my diets and stuff, when it's like, you can't eat in between meals. And it was like, okay, let me just make it to lunchtime. I can make it to lunchtime. No eating to lunchtime. You know, you kind of set those. I've got a 15-minute meeting that I don't have to worry about. Like, you have those mini milestones that get you there. A journey of 200 miles begins with one step.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wow.
So, and then another step. And then another step.
Exactly. So tell me about your podcast. Let's talk about your podcast. Where is that?
Oh, sure. So my podcast, so my last name is Terrio. It's spelled The Riot. So it's the Run the Riot podcast.
Oh.
And so it started where I was invited to be on some other ultra running podcasts, some running podcasts. And I said, man, that was fun. And I started listening to other ones, and they didn't ask the questions that I wanted to ask. And so I said, you know what? I'm a techie. I'm going to start my podcast. Mm-hmm. And kind of like you, I just said, all right, what do I need? And here we go. And I started it, and I have had a blast. I've interviewed so many cool people from all over the world who just, they all have a story, you know?
Yeah. What,
and some people who have overcome drug addiction. Now they're pretty much addicted to running, but it's a healthy addiction.
Yes.
Exactly. And just so everybody's got a story, and everybody has done so, you know, they put in the work to overcome and to run these races. And so it's been fantastic. You know, I'm encouraged by it. I learn from every person that I interview. And so it just pushes me to keep running and be better. And I get all these friends from all over the place now.
Yeah, because I interview so many people in the world of like self-help, personal growth, I feel like I get free therapy.
It's good. I like it.
And coaching.
Yes. Same here. I learned so much because, you know, some of the elites that I have on the podcast, man, I'm milking them. I'm asking them, you know, what are you doing here? What are you eating? What are you, you know, what's working for you and what shoes are you wearing and all these things. But also, you know, I love just like what we're doing, talking about their mindset, because I see them suffering at races and they're able to push through that. And so, hey, what are you thinking? What are you doing? And I do take
notes about establishing daily disciplines. That's for
nice.
Me.
That's for you. Oh, well, all right. That's good.
Yeah. Okay. So if people want to work with you, how do they find you?
So if they go to the, I have the Run the, it's the Run the Riot podcast. So if they go to www.runtheriot.run.
That's different. Yep, and yep. I will have that. I'll put that in the show notes too.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And I have links to the podcast and random stuff on there. And, you know, if anybody out there is a runner and needs some guidance, needs some coaching, be glad to help them. There's a little questionnaire they can fill out there. I need to say this because I've had so many people who run and they say, man, I could never run 100 miles. And I look at them and, you know, barring some crazy injury. And I said, you would have to want it. You'd have to want to do it and put in the time. And so, or for somebody, it might even be a marathon or a 50K. Hey, you could, you just got to put in the work, you know?
Yeah.
That's it.
Have that time. Awesome.
Believe.
All right. So does that mean that you are ready for the speed round?
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know about this. So yeah, let's go. Let's do it. I don't know how well I'm going to do, but we'll figure it out.
Question one. Tell me about your favorite sneakers.
Oh, Altra. I wear Altra shoes. Yes. The Altra is the brand, and I wear the Olympus on the trails, and they are fantastic. They help your feet to run naturally. They have a big toe box, and yeah, that's what I wear.
All right. That's the only question I have related to running. What was the last book you read?
Actually, I'm reading the Terminal List series. It's Jack Carr. They started the movie on Netflix called The Terminal List. That's the last fiction that I've read. Yeah. Okay. With Chris Pratt in it.
Yes. I saw that.
It's a great series. I'm on the last book. So
nice. Yep. Favorite kind of cookie.
Oh man. Cookie. Yeah, just a good soft chocolate chip, but not too soft. It's got to have a little bit of crisp on top. So it goes good with the milk.
Yeah.
But a good soft, like a Nestle's Toll House kind of. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. If you're going to binge watch, what's your favorite genre? Comedy, drama, action, thriller, documentary, reality, something else?
I'm going to go with action. I like a good action movie. Just typical guy, you know. Just
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like all the things happening, blowing up and all that. Yeah.
Okay. Last one.
Okay.
Vacation spot next on your bucket list.
Oh, man. All right. So when you said vacation spot, I've been to Lake Tahoe a couple of times. And I love Lake Tahoe. But next one. I'm going to Moab, Utah, to run
nice.
240 miles.
You ever 240? Do you ever vacation and it's not a race?
Yeah, we do. You sound like my wife. I love any mountains. I love Colorado, and so I can go spend just time, and we've done that. Go and spend some time in the mountains in a cabin in Colorado.
Oh, nice! I'm still waiting to go there, but it's got to be warm. Sedona is my favorite place in this country.
I haven't been there. I need to go check it out.
See, we need to swap spots. I need to go to Colorado, and you need to go to Sedona.
There you go.
It's all about the vortex.
Hey, Colorado in the summer is it's beautiful in the mountains. It's nice. It's cool in the shade. It's cool at night. You'd love it.
I would. I'm going to get there. All right.
Do it. Just do it.
I'm going to wrap up, but I always like to ask, is there anything you wanted to talk about that I didn't ask or you didn't get a chance to?
I don't think so. I just love to see people believe in themselves and work and achieve something that they never would have thought they could do. And so whether that be, you know, running our business or whatever, you know, man, I want to encourage anybody out there just to just go for it, man. Figure out a plan and do the thing.
Amen.
Yeah, I like it.
Great. Thank you so much. I'm going to have links to your website and your podcast on the show notes if anyone's looking for it. And I will help you with the spelling of that last name. Like you said, now it took me a while until you said it. I didn't realize the riot.
There you go.
The spelling of Terrio.
Yep. Yep.
Brilliant. All right. I'm going to hit that stop button.
All righty. Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. Enjoyed the conversation.
Me too. Thank you. Thank you for joining me. Visit agileselfdevelopment.com and subscribe to the podcast so you can receive new episodes right when they're released. And if you enjoyed the podcast, I'd love it if you'd leave a review in Apple Podcasts. It makes a big difference in how the podcasts are ranked. Thank you again for joining me, Helene Coppell, for this episode of Agile Self Development. Become your best self, one version at a time. Catch you soon.